I love that quote from Martin Luther. It literally transformed the history of the church as we know it today. Just that thought that we are saved by grace through faith and not by our works. If you go down that road of works, you start thinking you can earn your salvation, that you actually can cross T's, dot I's. We all need Jesus. Who can say amen? From the least as what the world would look to the greatest as far as the world's concerned, we are all in need of a Savior. Our works cannot, will not save us. We are saved by grace through faith in what Jesus did at the cross. Somebody needs to give God a shout of praise right now. And that's what this series, Catfish, is about. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 6. I asked the media team to just put this up. He goes, Paul writes, I am astonished that you are so quickly. He's speaking to the church in Galatia, but not just to the church in Galatia, but to the churches in that whole region. And he goes, that you so quickly are deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. And look what he says. And you are turning to a different gospel. Do you know what he's saying? You're being catfished. He goes, which is really no gospel at all. And so Paul wrote this letter from a deep, deep passion and from extreme frustration, worried that all the work that he had done and all the accomplishment and ground taken in the church in Galatia was being lost and completely undermined. You see, Christianity, let me give you the history of this book of Galatians. Christianity began as a Jewish messianic movement. Jesus was Jewish and he came first to the Jews. Is that right? He came first. He wasn't just there for the Jews, but he himself was Jewish. So Christianity, what began as a Jewish messianic movement, and where did it start? In Jerusalem. But it grew. And because it grew, let me just say this, because Christianity was never meant just to be for the Jewish people. It was meant to include all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So what happened was there were many non-Jews that were believing that actually, you know, the message of the gospel, the message of Christ. There were as many non-Jews as there were Jews. Why? Because Christianity was always meant for everybody. And actually, this creates a huge debate. Read about it in Acts chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul is reaching Gentiles. And Acts 15, they go, what do we do? Do we get these people to embrace the Torah? Do we get them to embrace circumcision? Do we get them to observe the Sabbath? And they actually finally landed it and put three requirements on them rather than all the works of the Torah, all the law, all those things, and it's all read in Acts 15. Historically, the people of God were set apart, listen to this, and I'm talking now about the Old Testament, in one ethnic group, Israel. And they were set apart by observing the practices of the Torah, circumcision of males, eating kosher, and observing the Sabbath. That was one of the ways in which we knew they were Jewish. And there were many Jewish Christians who believed for the non-Jewish Christians to become true followers of Jesus, they also needed to follow the teaching of the Torah. And they came to Galatia. Listen, this is what happens. They came to Galatia and they were undermining Paul and demanded circumcision of the non-Jewish Christians. And many of these non-Jewish Christians were getting circumcised. And when Paul found out about it, he was brokenhearted and angry. And that's why Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians. Have you got it? That is the quickest introduction I could ever give to you on the book of Galatians, but it's important you understand the founding of it. And what happens is these Jewish believers, these messianic Jewish believers actually were undermining Paul. And Paul defends himself. Listen to what he says. Paul, an apostle, sent not by man, not from man nor by man, but by Jesus and God the Father. Verse 11, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preach to you is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. What's he saying right there? Hey, some people, man recognizes another man, but let me tell you, I had my own personal encounter with Jesus Christ on my road to Damascus, which is Acts chapter 9. And I encountered the risen Savior myself, the one who was resurrected, appeared to me and called me and set me apart. Man did not call me, but Jesus Christ himself met me on the road, changed my life. I was a devout, zealous Jewish man trying to stamp out Christianity. And when I met and encountered Christ myself, everything changed. So he challenged these Jewish Christians with a summary of the gospel of the message about the crucified Messiah. And that's the first thing he did. The second thing, he argues this gospel is what creates, listen to this, a new multi-ethnic family of Jesus and of Abraham. And he argues that it's no longer just for us, but it's multi-ethnic. I love the gospel. And then finally, listen, Paul shows this gospel, watch, is truly what transforms people by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul does. And I want to just encourage you now. There is this shock. There is this marvel from Paul. And he goes that you are being catfished. You are believing another gospel. And so enter the story of Manti Te'o. And of course, Manti Te'o was a great footballer. He played in the College of Notre Dame. He himself was Polynesian. He lived in the Hawaiian Islands. He had an outstanding high school career. And then he was recruited to play for Notre Dame. And he signed as a linebacker. And his grandmother and his girlfriend died on the same day. And in this season of his life, his last year of college football, he dedicated this game to the death of his grandmother and the death of his girlfriend. Well, could you imagine if you're a famous footballer and you're playing college football and the media love to talk about, and this guy was good. He was very good. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate. He was had the best year ever, his last year. And on the same day, his grandmother and his girlfriend dies. But then that's Manti Te'o right there. But let's have a look at who actually catfishes Manti. Have a look at this guy here. His name is Renaya. No, that's Linnea. Let's go to Renaya. Renaya actually was going online seeking different people to engage them in relationships. And Renaya was confused about his own sexuality, confused about his own life, and he pretended. He reached out to Manti Te'o pretending to be this person. Let's look at the next photo. And that's Linnea. He actually took that photo from someone, but actually introduced himself to Manti Te'o as this girl, but used his own lifestyle, his own personality to draw Manti into a relationship. Manti kept trying to say, hey, let's meet, let's get together. And somehow, masterfully, Linnea or Renaya, I don't know who to call. Sometimes I get confused when I try and tell this story. But he, she, whatever, was always masterfully, always having reasons why that they couldn't have a face-to-face meeting. They tried to do FaceTimes and the FaceTime never worked. Manti, of course, was committed to play college football. So he was living in Indiana. He was missing his Hawaiian background, his church background, his cultural background. And Linnea, actually was playing on all of that and playing with his emotions. And so toward the end of this, when Manti was getting really insistent, hey, we need to meet. You're my girlfriend. We've been dating online for years. Renaya then realized, this is getting too close to the bone. I got to end this relationship. This has been fun, but I don't want to get caught. So she pretends that she was in a terrible car accident. And then he, pretending to be Linnea's brother, I mean, what a web of deception this is, rings Manti to say, my sister, your girlfriend, which is really me, has been in a terrible car accident, and I don't know that she's going to make it. And also, she's got leukemia. And so, can you imagine this? And this guy, this vulnerable, innocent guy, is heartbroken for his girlfriend who's been in a car accident, who now has leukemia. This is Renea's way of trying to end the relationship. And then Renea finally says, or Renea, Lanae, finally gets someone else to call, which is him. And it's now the brother saying, she's dead. She died. So Manti dedicates this game. Can you imagine this? To the death of his grandmother and of his girlfriend on the same day. What would the media do with that? This poor guy, they start investigating. Who's the girlfriend? Where's the girlfriend? Well, Renea now, he knows he's in a whole lot of trouble. And so, long story cut short, it's actually a Netflix series. I watched the first part and I couldn't bear myself to watch the second part because at the end of the first part, Renea rings and says, hey, it's Lene. I'm not really dead. I've just pretended I was dead. And I don't even want to know the rest of the story. The point is, Manti was catfished. Could you imagine how he felt? Realizing that he actually thought he had this relationship, allowed his heart to go out to this person, only to find out it wasn't real. Can I tell you, that is what Paul is saying to the Galatians. You are being catfished. Are you hearing me? And so let's read on. Let's think about now what happens here, because the Jewish Christians badmouth Paul. And listen to what they said. They're demanding circumcision and questions the authority of the apostle Paul. Can you imagine that? They're questioning the authority of the apostle Paul, and Paul defends it. And this is what he does. The authority of his message, the authenticity of his message, and the authority of his message as an apostle. And Paul goes out and says, I've been set apart, not by men, but by God. He says he was commissioned to go to the non-Jewish world, as outlined in the book of Acts. And it wasn't for many years later that Paul himself, after this encounter with Christ on the Damascus Road, and after he'd been preaching to the Gentiles for 14 years, then he goes to Jerusalem to consult with the other apostles. Who are they? Peter and James. And then he told them that he wasn't requiring non-Jewish Christians to be circumcised. He wasn't requiring them to eat kosher. And they were in full support. You can read all this in Acts. Just have a look at the book of Acts. And then Peter, who agrees with Paul, right, comes to Antioch to visit all these non-Jewish Christians. And he's eating with them. He's hanging out with them. He's fellowshipping with them. He's having a great time. Wow, look at all these non-Jewish Christians. But then some of the Jerusalem opposition, that group showed up, and Peter caved under the pressure. He stopped eating with them. He wouldn't have anything to do with them. He would walk on the other side of the road. And then what does Paul do? Paul, in the book of Galatians, calls him out. Peter, you're a hypocrite. You're a racist. You are showing social prejudice. You're wrong, Pete. You're doing this wrong. And actually, even Barnabas, he calls out, and all that were with him. And so for Paul, demanding these non-Jewish Christians to become circumcised or to observe the Torah is a betrayal of the gospel. Here's the key. Watch this now. He argues we are not justified or declared righteous by the works of the Torah. That's his argument. We are not declared righteous. We are not justified by observing the works of the Torah or by eating kosher. He argues we are justified. We are made righteous, rather, by faith in Jesus and faith in Christ alone. Amen. And Paul's making it clear. Listen to this. No one is made right by God by observing the Torah or by works, but only by faith and faith in Jesus alone. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Amen? People are justified only by what God did for them through Jesus, not what we do for ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen. So when I read the Bible, this is what I always think. When I read the Bible, am I reading the Bible or is the Bible reading me? When I read the Bible, I don't just want to, you know, some people say, if I just say 10 Hail Marys, you know, and one Our Father, if I just rip through the rosary beads, if I just have this, you know, read my Bible, I just read. I want to ask you, are you reading your Bible or is your Bible reading you? And I want to make sure that we don't get catfished into another gospel. And so listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace and peace. I love this. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for our sins to rescue us, watch, from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul's writing, and he's saying this to you and me today. Don't be catfished into another gospel. It is the will of God to be delivered from the evil of this prison age. I got to tell you, there is some evil in this prison age. Even Peppa the Pig, the little kids cartoon, has got a lesbian in it now. I'm not saying a lesbian's evil, but to bring that lifestyle into the minds of children is evil. I'm saying a lesbian needs Jesus just as much as a fornicator or an adulterer. Amen. I'm looking at what's being happening on like Fluffy and this idea of flurries or, you know, about in college campuses, students who are now identifying as an animal and demanding, requiring that they have litter boxes in the classrooms because the student, I want to tell you, Paul is writing and he's going, we need to be delivered from the evil of this prison age. Let me tell you what he's also saying. It is the will of God to have grace and peace. It is the will of God to be delivered from sin. The problem is we live in a world now that doesn't even call sin, sin. We don't even know what we live in 50 Shades of Grey. They even made a movie about it. What does it mean to be delivered from the evil this present age? It means we got to learn to live a life that is detached from other gospels that try to catfish us, to detach from whatever the Bible calls sin. The Bible says we're in the world, but we are not of it. And even Barnabas and Peter, I tried to say Peter and Barnabas at the same time. Barnabas and Peter gave in to the lie of another gospel. So I thought, well, what are the other gospels that are in this prison age that resonate, I think, in the spirit of what Paul was talking about? Well, here's the first gospel. Let me tell you, this is an evil of this prison age. The gospel of self-individualism. That's a gospel that's being preached out there today. I just got to do me. I just got to be true to myself. You know that gospel that says, we all love Jesus in our own way. You love him this way, but I'll love him my way. But look what Jesus says. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to come to me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Hey, we live in a world where I just got to be true to me. Jesus says, hey, if you want to be my disciple, you deny yourself. You put down your desires and your own appetites and you come follow after me. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I love this thought about how do I know if I'm living a gospel of self-individualism? And I think it's probably the best example is in the story of the prodigal son. Do you know where the son goes to the dad and he goes, Dad, I need to go find myself. I feel like I'm just being boxed in with my family, with you, Dad, my brother, and in this little rural area. I want to go into the city. I want to take my wealth, my inheritance. And listen to what he says. Father, give me. Everybody say, give me. Come on, every campus. I want to make sure every campus are with us here. Seaboard Road, Norfolk, I want to hear in the 757. I want Richmond, Glen Allen, Richmond downtown. I want to make sure Wilson, all of us, everybody say, give me. You see, that's the gospel of self-individualism. Give me, give me, give me, my name's Jimmy. Take, 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 my name's Jake. We live in a world where everybody just wants to do themselves. But Jesus goes, no, you've got to deny yourself. Please don't think for a minute that just because a pastor preaching the gospel doesn't have sinful appetites. Come on, somebody. They do. I've got to learn how to deal with those appetites, no different than someone who's confused about their sexuality. You may be tempted in some area of your life, but you, as well as I, have to deal with those appetites and say to yourself, I am dead to sin, and I've crucified myself in Jesus' name. Amen? It's not that those feelings aren't real, but there's no difference in how you must deal with them. So the Son says, give me my share of the inheritance. And he divided the property between them. And now many, many, many months, I don't know how long goes by, and the son who goes out into the big smoke trying to find himself, trying to figure out who he is. And now he spends all his money on prostitutes and drugs. He's snorting coke. He gets bubbles up his nose. That was supposed to be funny. He's trying to do everything that is out there on the extremities of life. And then he finally comes to a place where he's feeding pigs, a Jewish boy feeding pigs. That's not a good example of, hey, your choices are really working out for you. A Jewish boy, they don't even eat pigs. So the thought of feeding a pig is incomprehensible. They would never eat a pig, let alone feed a pig. And now he's desiring the food that he fed the pigs. And then he came to himself. And he said, I need to go back to my dad. And I need to say, Dad, no longer give me. But listen, how do I know if I've actually been catfished? When you live your life like God owes me, the church owes me, the government owes me, my parents owe me, everybody else owes me. Listen. And he goes to his dad and he goes, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Listen to what he goes. Make me. Come on, everybody say, make me. See the difference? Give me to make me like one of your hired servants. Somebody give God some praise. Come on. Here's another gospel that I think the church is being catfished. Listen to this, that the church is being catfished with. And that is the gospel of when I get around to it. Boy, is that a gospel that's out there today. So many Christians live in a place that I call someday I'll. Someday I'll come to church. Someday I'll get myself together. When I get married and I have kids, because my kids need Jesus. Someday I'll start tithing. Someday I'll start serving. Someday I'll get involved. Someday I'll go to church more regularly. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 59. Then he said to another man, come follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service for the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, there is a gospel out there of when I get around to it. I've got other priorities. And I just want to encourage us here. Let's not be catfished. There's only one way to live for God. It's full on. It's sold out. In love with Him. In love with His house. Can anybody say amen? Not just when I get, is the weather good? Is the fishing on? Do you hear what I'm saying? I want to encourage us, let's not be catfished into another gospel. And if Peter and Barnabas can be fat fished, if they can be catfished, I want to tell you, so can we. The gospel of when I get around to it. Can I just say this? This world is burning. This world is broken. This world is confused. Now is the time of salvation. The moment of faith is now. Don't put off what God has put on your life. Don't deny for another moment what God has called you to do. Get on fire for God. Come on, somebody say amen. What about this gospel? The gospel of money. Oh, that one preaches. Listen to Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, he's saying to a rich young man, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Now, most scholars believe this was the calling of the replacement of Judas Iscariot, the 12th disciple. This man was being invited to answer the calling of that disciple. But the Bible says, and he goes, and then sell all you have, then you'll have treasure in heaven, give it to the poor, and then follow me. But the young man heard this, what Jesus said, and he went away sorrowful, for he had many great possessions. I think the better way of saying that is not, there's no evil in having great possessions. What is evil is when great possessions have you. When those things get in the way of your serving God. Sometimes we can get so blessed that actually that blessing ends up becoming a catfish. And we actually end up getting lost in another gospel, the gospel of money. And Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. You'll either love one and hate the other. Amen? The Bible says, it is not money that is the root of all evil. Listen to it. It's the love of money. Jesus said the reason why 25% of people that actually start out in the kingdom don't make it in the kingdom is because they get caught up in the, if you like, the cares of this world, of which money plays a big part. And it becomes burdensome to them and they lose their way. Don't be catfished into another gospel. Can somebody say amen? That's what I love about God's house. That's what I love about the principle of the kingdom. That's what I love about the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us how to live a blessed life and how to be the head, not the tail. I love the fact that we're a church that isn't just living for us four and no more. Can anybody say amen? What about this gospel? This one, man, this one's big. The gospel of there are many ways to God. And that's what really Paul's talking about in the Galatians. They're trying to say, hey, if you observe the Torah, then you'll be justified. You'll be made right with God. Well, how did that work out in the Old Testament? And why would Jesus ever have needed to come in the first place if that was sufficient? Amen? But what we do is, I mean, let me just say this. I've read through the Book of Mormon, and some people feel like I beat up on the Mormons. They're a cult. It is all founded on a lie. And if you read up the story and the history of the Mormon church, it is in its origin racist. Yes. It was founded by a guy who was a prolific liar and actually had an angelic visitation who the Bible says the devil can appear as an angel of light. And then he was told, hey, I'm giving you another gospel. Well, Paul says, listen, don't believe another gospel. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14, verse 6, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, let me tell you the gospel that's out there today in the church. Of course, we would sit here today and we would say, amen. We believe we are justified by faith and faith alone in what Jesus did on the finished work of the cross. It's not our works that save us. It's what he did. But let me tell you what goes on in today's world. We go like the gospel of I don't need a church. Yet Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gospel of I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church to be a Christian. That is not what God's plan was. Read the New Testament book. It's full of the establishment of apostolic leaders, starting churches for a faith, a community of people to disciple, to shepherd, to care. The gospel of many truths and many paths to enlightenment, Scientology, New Age. Can I tell you, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets to God unless you're coming through me. And we are saved by grace through faith and faith alone in what Jesus did. Your works cannot save you. Your words cannot save you. Your money cannot save you. Hare Krishna cannot save you. Allah cannot save you. It is Christ and Christ alone. Don't be catfished.
Oh, here's another gospel. Listen to this one. The gospel of not calling sin a sin. John 15, verse 14. Jesus found this man who was crippled, and he goes at the temple, and now he's no longer crippled. He's healed because Jesus healed him. And he says, see, you are well again. Now listen to what Jesus said. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. You say, Steve, that sounds a little bit like works. Okay, Joe Riddle is going to talk about that when he talks through the book of Galatians. You see, there is a principle called sowing and reaping. And sowing and reaping will work for you or it'll work on you. Just turn to the person next to you and say, that was for you. That wasn't for me. We live in a world where it's just a little white lie. We live in a world where we don't even want to call sin, sin anymore. We live in a world where we say, but we're woke. We're enlightened. We've got new truth. We've actually found a higher pathway. Can I just tell you, let's make sure we go to the Word of God and discover what the Word of God says is sin. Amen? And let's make sure. Now, there are some sins that you and I, let's be honest, would like. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are but for a season. If sin wasn't so pleasurable, there wouldn't be so many people wanting to sin. But the wages of sin is death. In other words, you are cut off from God. So let me just make it clear. When it comes to premarital sex, if you're a young person, or if you're not even a young person, you're once married, but you're longer married, and now you are actually having sexual relationships, that's as much premarital sex as a young person. That's called a fornicator, which the Bible calls sin. Now, you may have appetites, you may have desires, but you've got to learn to control that and deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Jesus and resist from it. No different than lying being sin. No different than being cowardly is a sin. No different than homosexuality is a sin. No different than adultery is a sin. We've got to be able to see sin for what it is. And sin means this, missing the mark. It's an archer who shoots an arrow at a target, and if he didn't hit the bullseye, we would say this, you sin. No big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, but you know what I mean? You missed the mark. We need to understand the Bible says we ought to be jealous and zealous to repent. We ought to be looking for an opportunity. God, if there's something in my life, in my words, in my lifestyle, if there's something I'm doing that doesn't please you, if there's something that's sinful, I'm looking for you. I'm zealous, God. Would you bring it to my attention? But the world pushes back on this. What about this gospel? This one, man, this one gets me fired up. The gospel of there being people saying there is no hell. Some people who I would consider had great maturity in the Word of God have gone down this road. And I want to say, you actually think you know more than God? You think somehow that you actually know more than what the Bible teaches? Well, what does the Bible say? Matthew 10, verse 28. Fear not them that can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who was able to destroy both the soul and the body. Where? Where? In hell. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said hell's real. Mark 9 verse 43. And if your hand offends you, cut it off. For it is better to enter life maimed than have two hands and go to where? Hell. Into a fire that will never be quenched. Revelation 20 verse 15. Whoever is not named or not found written in the book of life will be cast into a lake of fire. Can I just say this? Hell's real. And we have this gospel today of people who are saying, if hell's not real, can I tell you, there's no purpose to the gospel. There's no purpose for Jesus coming. Jesus came to deliver us from the consequences of being separated from the presence of God. Amen? What about this one? The gospel of works, or the gospel, if you like, of the law versus the gospel of a new creation. Our works cannot save us. No matter how good you think you are, there is no one righteous. No, not a one. We're all born in sin, saved, shaven in iniquity. Yes. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. And so our works cannot save us. But what does save us? I love it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Here's what religion does. Religion tries to work on the outside and work its way in. Jesus works on the inside and that it comes out in our life. God is interested in our heart. Religion goes, do this, say this, do this. And tells us rules and Torah and gets... I love what Paul says, by the way. Paul goes, you're going down the road of circumcision? He goes, why don't you be really holy and cut the whole thing off? Read it. That's what he said. He's being absurd. He's being ridiculous. If you think that's going to save you, off with his head. Oh, I didn't mean that. What about the thief on the cross? Let's just get past that. There's an edit right there. What about the thief on the cross? If his works were going to save him, if things that he had to do was going to save him, he had no time to do any works. He's on the cross being crucified with Jesus. But in that moment of acknowledging he was a sinner, we deserve to be here. But this man's done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me. And Jesus reached out right in that moment. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Works cannot save you. Amen. Amen. What about this gospel? Some of you are going to like this one. The gospel of politics versus the gospel of the kingdom. I know there are people today that unless you're a certain political persuasion, you can't even be a Christian. And we make the Bible political. I heard a preacher, I won't say who, but I know this preacher. And I bitterly disagree with this preacher on this subject. This preacher said, you cannot be a Christian and hold the Bible in one hand and a gun in the other. That's the most, what's that? That's works. That's like, what do you do? It's ridiculous because I've got 17 guns. And I'm thinking about getting some more. Don't tell me I can't be. I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ and what he did and the finished work of the cross. I watch a movie like, I think it's called Breakback Ridge. And I watch this movie and this guy who has this genuine commitment he made to God that he would never go to war. He would never pick up a gun, rather. He would never do it because of his own experience in a moment of anger with his brother. And he made a promise to God, I'll never touch another gun as long as I'm alive. Because he realized in his moment of anger, he almost killed his brother. And so he said, God, I promise you, I'll never pick up a gun. I'll never do that ever again. And then, of course, he gets signed up into the war and he wants to be involved. He wants to be someone who is, he's a medic, I think, from memory. And then they put a gun in his hands. He goes, no, I made God a vow. And he turns it and makes it sound like God says that you're not supposed to fight or kill. The Bible says thou shalt not murder. The Bible doesn't say in its truest sense in the Hebrew word, thou shalt not kill, but it says thou shalt not murder. Murder is intentional without justice. But killing someone, you come into my house, you'll meet my gun. There's a big difference. And this man, whilst he was genuine, God never intended for us to live like that. God never, the Bible says, never swear by God, never use God's name. Never to do that. You shouldn't make an oath in the name of God. I think he was sincere, but I'll be honest with you, I think he was sincerely wrong. The gospel of politics, unless you're Republican, you can't be a Christian. Donald Trump is the savior of the world. Last I heard, Jesus Christ is the savior of the world. I certainly saying the same thing if you talk about Joe Biden, I'll tell you that right now. My faith is in the kingdom. Listen to what these poor old disciples, they don't get it. And this is the gospel and the evil of this present age. We think we got to get this, what will save us if we get this person elected? Can I tell you, that will not save anyone. What saves someone is faith in Jesus and the finished work of the cross. Come on, somebody say amen. So look Matthew 20, verse 21. What is it you want? He asked. And he's speaking to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the mother. And she said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other on your left in your kingdom. See, we all think earth life, but Jesus is thinking the kingdom. We all think earth life, and here she is thinking government. Jesus is on the throne, and Israel now has King Jesus. And Jesus goes, woman, you don't even know what you're asking. You have my kingdom is not of this earth. If it were of this earth, I would have come and done everything I wanted to. My kingdom is another kingdom. And I want to show it to you again. Over and over, the disciples in Acts chapter 1, and when Jesus was about to go into heaven, they said, Lord, is now the time that you're going to set up the kingdom? And he goes, no. You live in this world. You occupy it until I come. Our job is to make sure the kingdom of God comes here to earth in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen? Don't go down the road of actually thinking what will save our nation is a political thought or a person being elected. We are here to promote the gospel, to reach all people, which is multi-ethnic. And sometimes we as Christians, we get it wrong and we get catfished. Even Peter got catfished. And I want to encourage this church, this series, you're going to enjoy the book of Galatians. Today is my introduction. Anybody receive the word? Come on. Manti Te'o was ruined in his reputation, had all sorts of challenges of suspicion over his life. He went on to play in the NFL. I'm not so sure he ever really accomplished everything he was hyped up to become. I think all that disgrace and all that question really affected him. But let me tell you, as bad as that is for Manti, this is the gospel. This is heaven and earth. This is angels, demon. This is God. This is Satan. This is eternal life. This is not just earth life. It's forever. Fear not the man that can take away your mere body, but fear the man that can take away your body and your soul, and you miss out on eternity. Can I tell you something? Let's not buy the gospel of self-individualism. Let's not buy the gospel of, I'll get around to it some other day. Now is the time to be telling people about Jesus. Now is the time to keep the testimony in our lips. Can you say amen? Let's not just, I'll just come to church, but I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to serve. Can I tell you, I believe now faith is. Now, the moment of faith is now. Don't put it off. You may not have tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know this, God is reaching out to people right here, right now. And I want to pray for people who've never given your life to Jesus. Look at me. I want to pray for people who once did give your life to Jesus and you've been delaying and putting, I know I need to get right with God. I need to, but you know, some people, well, I'm just enjoying my life of just what I'm just doing good, feels good to me. Deny yourself. Come back to Jesus. There's only one way to live for God. It's sold out for Him. There are no perfect Christians. Dear God, that's the whole point. We try to attach works to qualify us. Your works will never do it. But Jesus is perfect. And He who knew no sin became sin that we might live. And we are justified by faith in Christ by grace. I think that's good preaching. Don't be catfished.